Hi, Sandra. How are you?
Just terrific, Jill. And you?
I am fine. Thank you very much. I have a question. I wonder what your article will say versus what I think. The question, will AI destroy more jobs than it creates?
Well, Jill, there's so much debate on that. I mean, so much debate. We're going to go through some talks from Dr. Carl Fry, who is a fellow at Oxford University, and he is focused on, will it create more jobs? Yes. I mean, it will destroy more jobs. And then we have the opposite, Bob Atkinson, who is president of the Information Technology and Innovation Foundation, which is a think tank for science and technology policy. He says no. Okay, no. Will it destroy more jobs than it creates? No. But before we get into this debate between both, there's a very interesting article by Ian McEwan, the great novelist. I just have to read this one quote for our leaders. So he says, you know, we're already in transition. We're learning to talk to devices like Alexa. Quote, I say, Alexa, play Mozart G major trio. I don't even say please. though he is intrigued by parents who teach their children to use good manners in addressing Alexa. So, you know, very, very funny. It's a great interview with him in the Wall Street Journal when he talks about how he ponders the AI future. He's very, 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 very positive about what the future of AI is. But I thought this one quote for our listeners and talking to Alexa, very, very funny. Anyway, so let's talk about the debate. So let's start with yes, it will destroy more jobs than it creates, by Carl Fry. So he says, like in the past, technology revolutions, the coming revolution on AI is likely to destroy more jobs than it creates in the short run. He says, you know, throughout history, the long-term benefits of new technologies to average people have been immense and indisputable. But new technologies tend to put people out of work in the short run. And what economists regard as the short run can be many years. More than two centuries have passed since the Luddites destroyed machinery, threatening their jobs. I'm a little too young to remember that, but and parallels are often drawn between the Industrial Revolution and our age of automation to suggest that English textile workers were wrong in trying to halt the adoption of machines. While the labor force participation rates have trended upward since the dawn of the Industrial Revolution, the Luddites did not benefit. For them, mechanization led to what historians have called the largest case of redundancy or technological unemployment in our recent history. So more recently, this is a very interesting joke. More recently, wages for men with no more than a high school diploma who would have flocked into factories before the age of robots have declined since 1980, adjusted for inflation, of course. Labor force participation rates among men 25 to 35 have fallen as well. Economists, in a study of industrial robot usage between 1990 and 2007, estimate that each multi-purpose robot replaced about 3.3 jobs in the U.S. economy. His research, personally, Carl Fry's research, says my own research with Michael Osborne of the Oxford Martin School, where he is a fellow, suggests that 47% of U.S. jobs could be automated due to AI. 47%. Few observers at this time believed fashion models would become exposed to automation as we predicted. Yet, generative adversarial network capable of creating fake fashion models from images now exist. This we see, the robots become the fashion model walking down the aisle. True, a study published by the OECD suggests far fewer jobs are at risk, but it mistakenly considered worker characteristics such as income and education, while we looked at the automability of tasks performed on the job. The statistical model also performs less well against the data. First, the fact that robots have reduced employment suggests productivity growth alone may not be enough to offset AI-related job losses. Workers will also have to depend on new jobs directly created by AI. And that's very important, Joe, for our listeners to understand. Second, early AI technologies may not produce big productivity gains right away. During the Industrial Revolution, early textile machines replaced many craftsmen without boosting productivity growth by much. It accelerated only after 1830. And third, AI will give rise to new occupations we can't imagine today. But those jobs are likely to be highly skilled, and many displaced workers may not be able to do them or move to where they are. Job creation and destruction has occurred unevenly across cities at a time when workers have become geographically mobile. For these reasons, we expect AI to destroy more jobs than it creates at first. That would be the norm, not the exception. And Jill, by the way, I see that within the advertising agency, with the new technology coming, and many, you know, art directors, people don't get it. They really haven't focused on it, and a lot of job losses have become just because of that. And we see the ad agencies, of course, into AI big time. Of course, that's how it's going to sell drugs. No more print. You're on AI all the time. Now, let's talk about...
Can I just interject for 1 second? Because whoever said that really needs to review their data, in my view. This is totally anecdotal and it's tangential, but someone said to me the other day, have you ever gotten a Whole Foods catalog flyer? He said it's revolutionized supermarket flyers. He said there's basically it looks like a catalog. It is well designed. It is tempting. It is visual. It makes the buyer want to touch and therefore buy. I'm just throwing that out there for anyone who thinks that your robot is going to be able to sell your meds better than something more visceral.
Yes. Sorry. But speaking about that, you know, food deliveries now by, you know, AI have gone to trouble because the AI technology, the AI robots can't go up steps. They can't right now.
Oops. What? They didn't think of that?
It has been a problem. Anyway.
Can they ring buzzers?
Yeah. So anyway, well, let's talk about Mr. Atkinson, Bob Atkinson's view on when it comes to it will destroy more jobs than it creates. He says, no, it will not. He says, let me quote, it's time to take a deep breath and stop panicking about AI and what it portends for jobs. No, AI won't destroy more jobs than it creates. No, the pace of technological change isn't accelerating. And no, we certainly don't need to tax AI to slow it down, he said. Automation, whether from AI algorithms or computer-aided machine tools, hasn't led to net job losses yet. So he completely disagrees with Carl Fry. This has been true since Adam Smith wrote about more efficient pin factories in The Wealth of Nations. Remember The Wealth of Nations, of course. And it will to be the dynamic going forward as things like ride-sharing apps lead to savings that people spend on other things. So he's saying, consider that from 1997 to 2015, boom times for information technology, productivity growth in EU 15 nations was positively correlated with growth in labor hours, suggesting that stronger productivity growth goes hand in hand with more jobs. To believe otherwise is to succumb to what economists call the lump of labor fallacy. The idea that once a particular job is gone, the overall economy has one less job. It's this idea that leads to such loopy proposals as taxing AI-based robots to provide a universal basic income to sustain what the doomsayers assume will be permanently out of work. The other reason not to panic is that AI's impact on employment over the next decade is likely to be much less than what many have projected. This debate got off the wrong foot in 2013 when Oxford professor Carl Fry, the other gentleman, released a much ballyhooed study that trumpeted the jarring conclusion that 47% of U.S. jobs were at risk of being wiped out by technology. It should have been noted at this time that the study wasn't an empirical analysis. It was an off-the-cuff forecast. Wow, he's really taking on Carl. That made little sense in many areas. For example, does anyone really believe that fashion models, barbers, and manicurists are at risk, as Mr. Fry and Mr. Osborne claim? Considerably how incredibly difficult such occupations would be to automate. So, just to finish up, to be sure, AI is much less likely to complement and more likely to replace less skilled workers. But this should be seen as good news, since the U.S. economy will have relatively fewer low-wage jobs and relatively more middle- and high-wage jobs. None of this is to say the U.S. shouldn't be do more to prepare workers, especially low-skilled ones, for transitions into new jobs and occupations. But those are manageable problems that policymakers can solve, rather than succumbing to a panic about a threat that isn't real. So Dr. Atkinson really, really takes on Carl Fry in the research that he did. So that's a little bit about the topic today. I wish I had a definite answer. Will it kill more jobs than it creates? But not yet. So it's a little bit about AI. By the way, I would urge our listeners, if they possibly can, to get the April 2nd issue of the Wall Street Journal, the whole section committed to AI. Many, many points of view, many, many different quotes from a lot of people. And it's still up in the air, really. There is no answer yet. Will it destroy more jobs than it creates?
Thank you very much, Sandra Flom, Leader's Edge.
Thank you very much. Bye, Jill.